coloring matching coloring, they were identical. Their gowns, even, were cut on similar lines, only their hats varied in shape and color. "Do I understand, gentlemen," Helen began, and her voice gained steadiness as she proceeded, "that the burglar whom Officer Orion and I caught lurking in our house was James Turnbull?"
"He was," answered Ferguson.
And Stone, as the twins looked dumbly at him, confirmed the detective's statement with a brief, "Yes." The silence that ensued was broken by Barbara, rising to her feet. "Jimmy won his wager," she announced. Her gaze did not waver before the concentrated regard of the men facing her. "He broke into our house. But, oh, how can I pay my debt to him, now that he is dead?"
"Hush!"
Helen laid a cautioning hand on her sister's arm, as the latter's voice gained in shrillness, the shrillness of approaching hysteria.
"I am all right, Helen." Barbara waved her away impatiently. "What caused Jimmy's death?"
"Angina pectoris," declared Rochester. "Too much excitement brought on a fatal attack."
Barbara nodded dazedly. "I knew he had heart trouble, but—" She stepped toward Turnbull, and her voice quivered with feeling. "Don't leave Jimmy lying there. Take him to his room, doctor," turning entreatingly to Stone.
The physician looked at her compassionately. "I will, just as soon as the coroner views the body," he promised. "But come away now, Babs. This is no place for you and Helen."
He signed to the deputy marshal to open the door as he walked across the room, Barbara keeping step with him, and her sister following in their wake. At the door, Barbara paused and looked back. "Will there be an inquest?" she asked.
"That's for the coroner to decide," responded Ferguson. "As long as Mr. Turnbull entered your house on a wager and died from an attack of angina pectoris, the inquest is likely to be a mere formality. Ah, here is the coroner now,"
as a man paused in the doorway. Helen McIntyre moved back from the door to make room for Coroner Penfield. Having had occasion to attend court that morning, he was passing the door when attracted by the group just inside the room. Courteously acknowledging Helen's act, Penfield stepped briskly across the threshold and stopped abruptly on catching sight of the lonely figure on the floor.
"Won't you hold an autopsy, Ferguson?" asked Clymer, breaking his long silence. "No, sir. We never do when the cause of death is apparent."
The detective bowed to Coroner Penfield.
"Isn't that so, Coroner?"
Penfield nodded.
"Unless the condition of the body indicates foul play, or relatives specifically request it, we do not perform autopsies," he answered. "What has happened here?"
And he gazed about with quickened interest.
"Mr. Turnbull, who masqueraded as a burglar on a wager with Miss McIntyre, died suddenly from angina pectoris," explained the deputy marshal.
"Just a case of death from natural causes," broke in Rochester. "Please write out a permit for me to remove Turnbull's body, Dr. Penfield."
Helen McIntyre took a step forward. Her eyes, twice their accustomed size, shone brightly in contrast to her dead-white face. Carefully avoiding her sister's glance, she addressed the coroner.
"I must insist," she began, and stopped to control her voice, "as Mr. Turnbull's fiancée,
she faltered again,
"I demand that an autopsy be held to determine the cause of his death."